All right. I greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy. We just pray that you'd give us wisdom as we open our hearts and minds to you, Lord. Thank you for your guidance in these words, Father. We just ask that you'd help us be faithful to you. Apply ourselves to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, again, I want to just praise the Lord for his goodness to us. Let's just go to Romans chapter 8. I want to begin there. Very familiar verse. Very familiar chapter. I want to begin in verse 1, just the first few verses here. I want to read a few. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Talking here about the law and the things that had us in bondage, he set us free from the law of sin and death. Now just thinking more about the bondage that we've been delivered from, and that there's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're set free. And thinking about the cycle of bondage and freedom. We see it throughout history. People who are oppressed and who are in slavery, and how they've risen up and been set free. And I just thought about that this week. We were somewhere and saw a young man that had something about a revolution, a desire on his shirt. He had a desire for a revolution, looking for a revolution. We hear that among the young people in this world. They're uncontent. They're dissatisfied, looking for a revolution. And I just thought about that as here these people, privileged, very privileged young people. Most of, you know, when we hear about the riots and things going on in colleges, it's usually the elite colleges that this is happening at. It's not the people who are oppressed, working, just barely surviving, that are almost in bondage. But it's the elite that are looking for a revolution. And I just thought about that. And what kind of revolution? What are they looking for? What in the world could they want? The very elite in the world, pampered, privileged, everything in this world that they could offer, going to the best colleges with the brightest opportunities ahead of them, and they're talking about having a revolution. I just thought how backwards that is. How ungrateful that is to be the very most privileged in the world, and yet them wanting a revolution. And I just thought about the idea of revolution, and we've seen revolutions in times, but it came from people who were oppressed, who were in bondage. And we see that happening with the children of Israel, that how they were in bondage over and over again. And the cycle, in bondage, they begin to have a spark of faith that there was something higher to obtain. And so in this bondage, they see a little glimmer of God that would be able to deliver them from something, from this bondage. And so that sparks faith. And as they begin to apply that faith in their lives, that faith begins to grow. And then it becomes courage. And then the courage begins to rise, and they begin to come up with plans. And this faith, and then courage builds upon it. And then they rise up and they get liberty. They get this freedom that they're talking about. Sometimes they got to fight for it. Sometimes they got to just have the faith and then the courage to rise up and fight against their oppressor. It's an uphill battle. Many times there's failures. Many times you get put down. But they keep on fighting because they have faith to keep on fighting. And that faith produces courage. And that courage then produces liberty. And then that liberty usually produces abundance. Then that abundance, because of the liberty, because of the freedom, this abundance. And then that produces selfishness. People just looking out for themselves. Being free and having everything they need is not enough. They want to get more. They start getting selfish. Just looking out for me, forgetting about everybody else. And that brings complacency. And that complacency brings apathy. Just brings a carelessness. Who cares about anybody else? Who cares about what's going on? And that apathy produces a dependence. And from that dependence, the next step is right back into bondage. That cycle, that little cycle that I just explained, has happened throughout history. It's written down, this cycle, because it's so common in life, in history, in nations, and in spirituality. Bondage, and then faith, and then courage, and then liberty. And it's just this cycle, just goes on and on and on. How? What? What do we do? I just remember, just so grateful and so thankful. Sometimes I forget of what kind of bondage I was under. But now I've been set free. I've been set free. And it's easy to walk in this liberty and then wind up with an abundance. And then pretty soon you get selfish and complacent and apathy. Pretty soon you're dependent on something else. That's just the cycle. And I just want to try to look at some things to help us. I mean, let's I just wanted to notice that the beginning of chapter 8 is this deliverance And then we get over to chapter or verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. Things become so upside down. We see these blessings, or we call them blessings. The things that make our lives comfortable. When things go smooth, when things go well. We see those things as something that is good for us and helpful to us. But that is what causes the abundance that produces, that sets us on the road. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn and weep. Blessed are those who have trouble." We think, "Blessed are everyone who does well and prospers. God's blessed us with all these good things." But it's the things that are bad that happen to us that make us stronger. The things that would remind us again of the bondage and the things of the evil of this world that make us stronger. Instead of the comforts and the pleasures and the things of this world, the security that make us weaker. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. You know, there's a big argument about the sovereignty of God, that God is just controlling all things. See, we're just puppets, and He's just in control, playing this big game. God, in His sovereignty, in His all power, all ability, all-knowing, has created us with our own will to make our own choices. So that we can do whatever we want. We can hurt people. We can hate people. We can love people. We can do all of that range of things that God has given us the power over. And He's big enough to let us have it. That's what so many people miss. We think whenever we're big is because we can control people. That we can just, dictators are trying to control the world. They're just trying to get everybody under their thumb to do everything their way. That's the way Satan wants to operate. But God's bigger than that. He doesn't have to have every little thing under His thumb. And He don't. Because He's big enough to allow that to happen. A dictator has to compel you to do something, has to force you to do it, whether by peer pressure or with a gun. A dictator has to push you into something so that they can feel powerful. God doesn't have to feel powerful. He is. And so He can let you have your will and your way and just let you have it. And not have to feel like He's losing His authority because He doesn't control you. He can let you make your own choice without taking away from whom He was, from who He is, or who He is. Jesus came into this earth and He told people, "Follow Me." And then He walked away and never looked back to see whether they were following Him until later. And, "Oh, there you are. Why are you following Me?" He didn't have this desire, this compulsion to control people. It's not from God. And His sovereignty is displayed in that. He doesn't need to control you to show that He is anything. He can be absolutely what He is. But those who are called, those who will hear His voice and will actually follow Him and yield themselves to Him, choosing to be like Him. That's where real freedom is. And that's the mindset. All things happen for good. We had a talk this week. You know, what good is being thankful whenever things are good? What good is it to be, you know, is it really a blessing whenever something happens good to you and you say thank you? Who can't do that? I mean, you got to be a real jerk not to be thankful whenever things are good. But when things are bad, and you can say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The worst thing in the world that I could want for my life just happened to me. God is in control. That's where God is in control. When we give Him our will and we follow Him, that is what real faith is all about. Is when you can say, here I am, God. You see that in Job. Job had everything taken away from him. And he said, this is the way naked I came into the world, and naked I'll leave. Praise the Lord for what He's allowed to happen to me. That is the heart of faith. It's so simple that God loves us enough to let these things happen to us that will make us better people. That will keep us on the liberty side of our faith, of this walk, instead of walking headlong into abundance with no restraint that only leads to selfishness and complacency and apathy. God cleared, He could have just cleared all of the land, the promised land, but He made them fight for every city. He did it as they walked, but He made them fight for everything. Why? Because He's just being a cruel taskmaster? No, because He knew that if they didn't fight for what they wanted, it would be worthless. It would be worthless. Just to give somebody everything they need spoils them and ruins them. They need to know hardship. Children need to know hardship. You look back through history, the people who grew up and amounted to anything oftentimes have a story of real hardship behind them. And it's very difficult to living in a land of abundance to instill that. We don't want to. But whenever we trust in the Lord, and when hardships come, that's when we're thankful. That's where the blessings are. You know, is it a blessing to have things poured out on us so abundantly that we become complacent? Is that a blessing? It's not a blessing at all. This kingdom that the Lord talks about is completely opposite in every way from what the world is talking about. We see good things and we say, praise the Lord, God's blessing me. But how often do we say, God is blessing me when we're sitting in ashes? That's what Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are you when troubles happen to you. What do? We start belly aching and complaining. That's what we do whenever blessings happen to us. Whenever everybody turns against us, we bellyache and complain instead of saying, praise the Lord. You know, often it's those that are nearest to us that hurt us. You know, I've thought years ago, I realized that the world can't hurt me. They can kill me. They can hurt my body. But they can't hurt my heart. They can't hurt my soul. They can just do whatever they want to, and it just doesn't penetrate outside of the body, outside of the flesh. Don't hurt. David talked about that in one of his Psalms. He said, it wasn't my enemy that hurt me. It wasn't those that were against me that I knew. It was my friend that hurt me. That's what hurt me. And you know, as we live our lives, it ain't what the city is going to do to us, or the country, or the enemy, or the atheist, or the Muslim extremist. They're not going to hurt us. It's going to be our friends. The ones we've led in our heart. It's going to be our family. That's where it comes to hurt. And that's where we have to. And the hardest, because we're hurting for them. But that's where we can still say, praise the Lord, a blessing has come to me. We say, not my will, but thine be done. But oh, how bad we want our will to happen. Oh, how we long for our will and our goal and our plan to be accomplished. And we say, thy will be done. And then it comes. Everything gets wrecked. And we complain about it. Do we really believe there's a God in heaven that actually controls everything that happens in your life? Do we believe He's that big? We have responsibility, and we can set the courses the way we want to go. But when we know and trust that there is a God in heaven that holds this whole thing in His hands, that's able to understand what we really need and what's good for us. When we really get a hold of that, that the way He's laid out for us to live and the things to do. I mean, it's easy for us to go through those forms. But what does it produce in us whenever our plans get changed? Do we really have faith? Or have we just found a righteous way to live? I want to give a couple of... Turn to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The title of this is it's Christian Conduct. I just want to put out a couple examples. Verse 12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace one with another. What I want to focus on there is live in peace one with another. How often we have little strifes with one another. I don't like the way they do this. They don't do this right. They don't do that right. I don't like this. Live in peace one with another. You know, one of the things I've learned is that I don't have to. If I just walk and trust the Lord, I don't have to, as an overseer, just control every situation and every circumstance and every person that wants to be a part of the church. Over and over and over again, we see troubles arising in people. And they grow and they grow and they grow and they leave. I don't have to step in and fix it. God has a way of purifying things. And as a leader, all I've got to do is follow Him. And try to instruct others to do the same. But when we don't live in peace one with another, some little burr begins to, I just can't put up with them. I don't like them. I don't like the way that, and that grows and grows and grows until the Lord purifies the church again. And He just cleanses it. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. There's just a whole scope of things right there. We got the unruly, we got the faint-hearted, and we've got the weak. All right in the church. But be patient with everyone. You know, there's people that are in the church, and I believe they're there just to teach us to be patient and long-suffering. To teach us to trust the Lord. They might not be doing everything I like. They might taint the body. Well, that ain't our business. Our business is to be faithful ourselves and to do what we're supposed to do ourselves. And those people that seem to be uncomely, or those people that just kind of, everything they say just grates against me or causes me problems. Well, praise the Lord. Fix your problems. And be patient with them. Let them help you to learn how to love those who are not so lovely sometimes. See that no one repays another with evil for evil. Wait a minute. This isn't even talking about those out in the world that would cheat us. See that no one pays. Be patient with everyone. And he's talking about people in the body. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Oh, they said this about me. I'm just going to not do nothing with them. Don't repay evil with evil. But be patient with everyone. Seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. This is nothing I've got figured out. This is nothing I've got. It's hard to rejoice whenever there's someone just causing trouble, or someone being pretty self-righteous, or someone being pretty ugly. But that shouldn't affect my rejoicing. The Lord has set me free from bondage. What do I want? Abundance? So that I can become selfish when someone grates me? Is that what I want? Or can I rejoice always? We want to fix all things. But that's not the way God wants it for us. He's trying to preserve us so that we do have to... the children of Israel, I missed that part. He left things in there lest the wild animals would come in and the cities. He didn't clear them all out. He waited until the nation was strong enough to take those places. He didn't do it all for them. It's an uphill battle seeking after this liberty. And once you get there, it's a downhill on both sides. The higher you get, the hill goes down both sides. We keep on climbing. We keep on climbing. We haven't obtained. And just because we might get a little prosperous where we're at, don't set your heart on it. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Many people are trying to figure out what God wants for me. What is the will of the Lord in my life? Well, right here it is. In everything, give thanks. Not just for the good things. It's easy to bow your head and say, "Thank you for this good food, Lord." What if it spoils or something happens to it and you go without? Thank you for nothing, Lord. This is the will of God. It's not some great big task that He's got you to set out to do. It's not being some big preacher. It's not being some big missionary. If you can't learn to be thankful, you ain't got no business doing any of this. Be thankful in all things. This is what we've got to work on. Learning how to be thankful in all things. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Don't quench the Spirit. Look where that came. Be thankful in all things. Don't quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. We're in His hands. It's not up to us. We have a choice in it. But if we continue to believe that He holds all things in His hands, and we trust Him, and we can be thankful, He will bring it to pass. We get to thinking that this way is too hard. It's up to us. I've got to do it. But it's not. All we have to do is go through it and remember that He is in control and He is the one. This is His world. This is His kingdom. This is His church. We are His people. He's not some... We talk about His sovereignty and then believe He can't even do a thing in our lives and He has no control over the situations in our life. Well, that's the way we live. Now let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We just read things about Christian conduct. That's Christian conduct. We can have religious conduct. Verse 1, chapter 3, 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. Realize this. Accept this. In the last days difficult times will come. We're looking for some hardship whenever we think of difficult times. Difficult times are deceitful times. Times when it's hard to see truth. You know, God is the same. His character is the same. But the way He deals with us and the way that He deals with this world changes with the situation. But His character remains the same. So many people say, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I ought to be able to do what they were doing back in the book of Acts. In nature, we have a spring, we have a summer, we have a fall, and we have a winter. Four complete different seasons. Do four complete different things. But there's a good God in charge of it all. But when we're in the spring, it's like God is good. He's just blooming everywhere. But when we're in the winter and it's cold and rainy, God is still good. And He's just blooming everywhere. In the church, in the beginning, He pours out His blessings on the church. And they just flourish and things happen. The springtime. The book of Acts. We're in the book of Revelation right now. We're not there anymore. This is not the springtime of the church. This is perilous time for the church. We're in the winter. The midnight's about to start. It's about to be over. He's not acting the same towards things that are going on. But His character has not changed. He's still seeking the best. And it says, the perilous times, difficult times will come. And He's talking to the church here. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. All of these things are right in the middle of religion. All of these things can have this is people who are having a form of godliness, but they're denying the power. What's the power? Patience with all men. Power? Be thankful in all things. It's not loving self, loving money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. You can have all of this garbage all wrapped up in a sanctimonious cloak of religion. Unloving, irreconcilable. There's no way to make reconciliation with some people. They're irreconcilable. Malicious gossips without self-control. Brutal. Haters of God. Treacherous. Reckless. Conceited. lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Loving to have everything all comfortable and be pleasing in their own sight. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. You know, when you're truly delivered from bondage, and there is no condemnation, how can one slave rise up and hate another slave, thinking he's better than the other slave that got delivered the same way? But when you deny the power of actually having been delivered, and this is the problem with second generation and third generation people in the church. They've not been delivered from anything. They've not been delivered from anything. And you get religious groups that have not been delivered anything, and you get them down to the 10th and 11th and 12th generation of religion, and they've never been delivered from anything. All there is prosperity and complacency, whatever the list is, apathy and bondage. Just doesn't happen to be bondage to drugs or alcohol. It's bondage to religion. It's bondage to ungratefulness, unmercifulness. Other people don't measure up. For among those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. How many people study and study and study and study and learn and learn and learn and learn and never come to the truth? It evaded them from the very beginning. And now they're building on that. Faith. Faith that there's a God in heaven that actually does care for us. And the things that He allows to happen, while Satan is whispering in our ear, he don't care for you, why would he let that happen to you? He's letting those things happen to you because he does love you. Because you do need correction. We need correction. And when we can truly learn to be thankful for all these things, this is the will of God. That's something we can work on. That we can learn to be thankful in all things. We can have all this other stuff. But if we don't have that, and we don't have mercy, just like the Pharisees, they had the religion, but they missed mercy. They missed kindness. They missed patience. They missed being thankful. Those are the real blessings. That's where it's at. May the Lord add His blessing. Father, we thank You again for Your goodness and mercy. Just pray Thy will would be done, Father, in our lives. Help us to be faithful to You. Help us to rejoice evermore. Forgive us, Father, many times we want to grumble and complain. Lord, help us find no pleasure in that, but find our hope and our joy in You, knowing that You have all things in Your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't have anything you'd like to share?
When you have them by themselves, without coming from something other than having learned them, that we need to do it just for their own sake, they're useless.
Mm-hmm.
But if our sisters cover their heads because they recognize themselves under Father and under their husband, and if we don't resist evil because we love our enemies,
mm-hmm.
not just because we're part of the church that doesn't do that, so. Our boy don't go to war. That don't work.
Right.
But all the things that we do, that they come from the very thing you preach about tonight. Just recognizing that God's in control.
Right.
That's why we don't have to lay up for ourselves. That's why we don't have to build a great bank account to protect ourselves in any way.
Right.
In that sense. So that's what's a blessing, is to think, what are these things?
Right.
And you think about, why do these things? That needs to stay there.
Amen. Right. Amen. Yeah, that is the heart behind all of those. We don't have to defend ourselves because God's in control. We don't have to lay up treasures because God's in control. We don't have to have all those. I mean, that's why we do these things, because God's in control, not because they're a rule that we can exalt ourselves by. Faith in God, that's, it's just missing. Just thought about it, this, you know, among the plain people that keep all these things, you hardly ever hear of a real deliverance. But you hear in evangelicals, a lot of times, people got delivered from something. They don't go very far with it a lot of times, but they at least have enough faith to believe that there is a power in God, that there is a trust that we have to have in the Lord. And it's just hard to separate. You either have one, a dead religion, that you got all the things figured out, or a faith that God's just in control that doesn't go anywhere. But you mix that real faith and put real faith into that, and that's the heart. That's where it comes to. We do these things because we do trust in God. Not because we believe it was written down, but because we trust in Him. Right.
It's the narrow path to follow Christ. And so few find that.
Right.
Just to go off one side of the ditch and the other side.
Right. Amen. Anyone else? All right. Well, God bless you all. We'll...
Still with me. be.